The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. With our best ever Wi-Fi all around your home, your world is limitless. Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. Switching broadband needn't be a hassle with Sky's dedicated switch squad.
Alrighty, alrighty. 51551 is the text number. Emails welcome on Ryan at RTE.ie. But at 26 minutes past nine, I want to welcome RTE's Jackie Hurley to the studio. Jackie, it's always good to see you. Although I was thinking, now that I talked to you here, last year we had some crack at the Galway races.
Oh, stop.
When you think of it.
Do you know
what a world away.
Do you know the day we were supposed to be there this year? I was actually only thinking back to the crack that we had. And those are the things that you miss. Because, you know, the days out with your colleagues and that kind of thing, listen, we're all struggling at different times. But they are important as well, just in terms of building the camaraderie. Because it's like a ghost town around here these days,
Lord,
you know?
Lord,
so you miss all the faces.
I remember we were at the, there was a big lunch, obviously, and where everyone's drinking 7-Up and eating bread and water, bowls of water, but they were looking at the screens and they were handing out prizes to the jockeys after the races, and I disappeared off the table saying, I must go down and have a look at this, I really want to see the action. And before I knew it, somebody had dragged me into the winner's enclosure. Before I knew it, another race had just finished. And before I knew it, I was actually handing the prize to the jockey and the trainer.
Meanwhile, we were watching going, what is your man doing on the television?
He was here a minute ago. What's he doing up there? I mean, absolute spoofery of it all.
But
we must pass on our best to Sinead and the team down there because they run a great show.
And we will be back. The minute they let us.
We'll be back. Listen, your book is really beautiful, and I'm not plumassing. I really mean it. It's a gorgeous thing to do because you're a mum of a boy and a girl, is that right?
Yeah.
And can I ask you,
Luke is 6 and Lily is 3.
And I think this book is kind of Lily's, not fault, but she has an awful lot to contribute to its genesis.
Yeah, because look, I suppose in a way what we all want for our children is that you give them the same things for both of them. You kind of want them both to be feeling like they can be anything that they want to be.
Sure.
And that's the way it was in my house. I know that that's the way it was in your house as well. Mm. And I suppose I wanted Lily to see that these are all the things that she can be, but I wanted Luke to know that as well, that when he's reading the book with her, that he's telling her, listen, if you want to play football for Ireland or if you want to be a politician or whatever you want to do, that you can do that as well. So it's important that kind of both of them see it, you know.
And had you eavesdropped in a conversation that they'd had about boys are better than girls?
Yeah, so I was at the zoo last year, right, and Luke and Lily were with me and a couple of Luke's little pals, and Luke has this little friend called Ivana who was 7 at the time and Luke was 5, and I overheard this conversation between the two of them that was like, boys are better, girls are better, boys are better. And I heard Ivana saying to Luke, yeah Luke, you're right, boys are better. And this kind of made me stop in my tracks now, so I ran over and I said, geez Ivana, why do you think boys are better? And she was like, well, boys' matches are on the TV. And God, it kind of broke my heart a little bit that this is why she thought boys were better. And honestly, I had to kind of sit her down and say, look, girls' matches are on the TV too. Here's all the things that you can be. The Women's World Cup was actually going to be on TV a month later last year. And I was saying to her, look, you know, if this is what you want, here you go. And it just, it made me kind of sad that society had already taught a 7-year-old girl that this is the way that life was. So I went home that night and I started writing the book.
Is that right?
And that's why the book, you'll see in the dedication, it's dedicated to Ivana and all the other girls who thought that boys were better, because I just thought these are the age group that you need to teach, because you know, when I was younger, it was Sonia O'Sullivan. She was the woman she was the poster child for us. But really, I think now young girls can see that there are so many athletes out there. And I guess I just wanted Ivana and everybody else to see that as well.
Yes, and you're right. When we were younger, it was Sonia and the likes, and Katie Taylor later. But what the point that young Ivana made, which is quite very astute, was because you only see boys playing in teams, and that's changing a little bit. I know my brother Garrett was involved with the Women's Rugby World Cup.
Yeah, and he did a great job organising a tournament here as well.
But he did, and of course I've totally biased, but I thought he did, and not only that, but we saw it on television.
Yeah.
And to me that was a bit of a sea change, because we hadn't seen a lot of women's team sports on television.
That's the thing now, Ryan, because if you actually turn on your TV now, like even last year, obviously Camogie ladies football are ever present, but we do the Republic of Ireland qualifiers. When the hockey team qualified for the Olympics, you could see that on TV. We have the Women's Six Nations. So it is actually, there is a difference now when you turn on the television, that young boy, like my 6-year-old boy, he will watch a women's match and a men's match, and he doesn't really know the difference because he's six, you know. And really, by the time he's 20, that will obviously have changed. I'm sure he's going to want to follow more men's sport because that's, you know, that's the game that he's going to be playing, and I understand that. But I do think that if we are looking at this generation of kids, particularly in primary school, I think they're just interested in sport. They just want to run around outside, and it's kind of up to us to make sure that we're normalising it for them that girls do play too. That's why the book is called that. You
know? And we're lucky, aren't we, here with Camogie as well as all the other. But as, from an Irish point of view, this is a good thing.
Oh yeah, totally. Because even like when I was a kid, like in Cork, we had a really good Camogie team. So you didn't have to look too far to see your heroes. The difference was they weren't in the newspaper every week. Whereas like you think now, like Katie Taylor just had a $1 million fight there 2 weeks ago. You know, you've got proper international stars. Like there's people like Denise O'Sullivan in that book who are recognised as one of the best footballers in the world. So we're competing on an international level as well, which is what makes a big difference.
I think what I liked about the book as well was you go back to people to almost rescuing them from history to say, no, hang on, you salute Maeve Kyle, you salute Rosemary Smith, and people of a certain age will say, yeah, we always knew about them. But again, a different generation will say, no, tell me more about them. So maybe just mention Maeve and Rosemary and the wonderful achievements.
I really wanted to bookend it so that it felt like it sort of encapsulated the stories of all of these Irish women. Because I knew when I was only choosing 25 athletes, sure, the hardest thing is you're only picking 25. Yeah. Like the reality is I'm friends with a lot of these people who are not in the book, and I'm having to meet them and say, don't worry, lads, you'll be in volume two. Yeah. You know? So it's very difficult. But I think in a way, in nodding to the likes of the Maeve Kyles and Jessica Harringtons, you want to recognise their achievements and say, look, you were a huge part of making these players of today. And then at the other end of the book, there's like a Rising Stars into the Future, which has like Bavian Parsons and Saoirse Noonan and these kind of people. You want to be able to say, look, maybe in the future, you're going to be the ones who are inspiring the next generation. So look, it's very hard to kind of get everybody's story.
Yes.
But I just wanted to get a flavour of it that can just show young boys and girls that this is the variety of talent that is here on this island.
We hear Katie Taylor and we, you know, she's beloved. And I have to say, I've fallen completely in love with Kelly Harrington.
Oh, yeah, she's amazing.
I just absolutely love her. She's so much fun and she's a divil.
Yeah,
and talented divil at that. But Deirdre Gogarty passed me by. I'm sorry to admit this, but thankfully your book has corrected that.
Well, Deirdre Gogarty is the reason why there is a Katie Taylor,
that's
you know.
It.
And sometimes in the midst of it all, Katie Taylor has rewritten history. But when you talk to Katie Taylor, she talks about Deirdre Gogarty.
Right.
That she was her inspiration and that, you know, she was Ireland's first ever professional boxer. And I guess in a way, you can't see it unless you can, you know, you can't be it unless you can see it. And that's the tagline of these. Katie saw Deirdre Gogarty and recognised, I can do that. Kelly Harrington since has done that. And I actually, my neighbour, I just bumped into her yesterday and I gave her daughter one of my books.
Right.
And she stopped me on the road and she said, you're not going to believe this, but my daughter Claire has never shown an interest in boxing or anything like that. But she read your book. She read Kelly Harrington's story and Katie Taylor's story last night. And she said, Mom, I'd love to give boxing a go. And Helena, after booking her in to go to a boxing lesson this week, and she was like, look, you never know, you might have inspired another Katie Taylor, but if you haven't, at least isn't she interested in that? And I was like, that's amazing. And this is a girl who'd never heard of that before, but suddenly reading a story, she's thinking, God, that's really interesting. And like, I know you have daughters as well. All you want to do is show them endless possibilities and let them choose it for themselves. So if that's music, arts, whatever it is, you just want to make it simple for them and let them decide. That's what I love.
What a great story with the little kid reading the story, the book. I mean, it says a lot. And people are crying out for role models and heroes. Now, we are mad for a bandwagon here in Ireland, as you know. And I suppose, when you see, for example, the Irish hockey team, women's hockey team, doing really well, and everyone's jumping on top of it, including people like me,
Do
they wonder sometimes, where were you when it was raining?
No.
Are we okay with the bandwagon?
Well, you see, if you take the hockey team for an example, they went off to that World Cup and they actually, the girls will tell you this themselves, because in fairness, they're all very good characters and they're well able to understand the message around this as well.
Yeah.
But when they were getting on the airplane, they were taking pretend selfies, waving to their crowds, being like, bye. And it was just like themselves, like, you know. And then when they came back, they came back to Dame Street. And obviously there was like hundreds of thousands of people on the
amazing.
Street. And they were just, and here they were singing Christmas songs. But they themselves recognised the hilarity of when they left, that there were three people at the airport waving goodbye to them, and they came back to half the country. But look, sometimes that's what happens. You know, we had a similar situation when the women's rugby team won the Grand Slam in 2013. There was a huge bandwagon started. Yeah. I think sometimes the success is what's needed to boost the train that's going on. But I think we're looking at a different movement now, because that hockey team have totally captured the hearts of the nation. You know, like it's, we're looking at a completely different future for future hockey players in Ireland because of that story. And that's a great thing. So,
so the bandwagon
is
welcome.
Exactly.
As long as it doesn't pull away too quickly.
Yeah, exactly.
Just, stick around.
I think they'd say, don't go anywhere.
I think that when the pandemic hit and I heard, you know, our friends and colleagues in sports departments, in newsrooms and around the country and not alone the world, struggling to fulfill a role in life. Very difficult. Very difficult. And, you know, you have to box clever with archive clips or do something. Was it the loneliest road for sports people?
Oh, yeah. And like, I mean, in fairness, I think we all, particularly in here, if you're asked to do a job, if somebody says, okay, you're going to the foreign desk, I think, you know, lads in our desk were just like, okay, grand, like whatever you want me to do. But it was very difficult because suddenly you're looking at a world that you're not familiar with, you know, and like every day it was like, we used to kind of laugh because for the first few days they said to us, do you want to keep doing sports bulletins? And we were like, well, yeah, like we definitely do. Sure, we were popping up on the news saying, how are you lads? Still no sport? Back to you, you know?
Yeah.
It kind of just became this, at the start, it was just like trying to kind of find your feet. But I think what we all recognised was that when sport is taken away from you, you realise how much you miss it. And I don't just mean the sporting action. I think it's the community that it builds. Like if you think Munster and Leinster are playing tonight, the entertainment and the atmosphere around that, like even let's say you go out, you meet your brother, you have a few pints, you might watch the match, that all that is gone.
The camaraderie.
People. Yeah. It's just what it means to people, because sport is, it's not just about the what happens on the pitch, it's actually the way that it brings people together. It starts conversations. It's something you might be standing next to a person queuing in the post office and you're chatting to them about the match or whatever it is. And I just think people in Ireland, we love to chat. And we love to chat about things that unite us. And sport is one of the things that does that. And I think when that was taken away, sports people and, you know, people who work in the industry, we all were just slightly lost.
Yes.
I think that's the way it felt.
Yeah, I can understand that. And someone was only saying to me recently that they go down to the local GAA club, even though they're not training.
Yeah.
But they love the sport so much, they're happy to sit and watch someone training and maybe bump into somebody else and say, how are you going? It's company.
Yeah, it's total company. And look, there are bigger problems that have happened in this pandemic than losing sport. Of course, we all recognise that. There's been utter devastation for families. But I do think what it has taught us is just how important we are to each other. And something like a match can make those bigger problems disappear for a little while. And that's what the joy is.
For sure, sure. The Women's Champions League final was shown on Irish television for the first time last weekend. Do you think that a trick might have been missed a bit in terms of the opportunity afforded by COVID to show more women's sports on TV?
In a way, I do, because it seemed to me like Project Restart was all about men's sport initially. Like in the Premier League in the UK, geez, there was meetings every day about how do we get that back. Yet the WSL season over there was cancelled on a whim, and it just, that was it. You know, like Niamh Fahey, one of the Republic of Ireland players, plays for Liverpool and they got relegated without even having their own kind of fate in their own hands. So that disappointed me. And I do think here, even with the GAA, wouldn't it have been nice for Camogie or ladies football to try to capitalise on a window that suddenly appeared, because now everything is being crammed into the back end of the season and I think it's going to be really difficult for everybody to get their place in the spotlight. So this year, 2020, there was the 20 by 20 campaign. It felt like this was going to be the big year for women's sport, and I do just think it's been complicated a little bit by the pandemic, and like I said, there are obviously wider issues than this, but I just think it's going to be hard for everybody to get their space in that week leading up packed Christmas. You know, it's you're going to have All-Ireland finals, Camogie ladies football, everything going on. I just think that's going to be difficult. And look, there's reasons why that didn't happen. And I'm sure there were conversations about how do they get there. But sometimes when there's an opportunity, you have to seize it, because if it goes by you, you can't get that back. Yeah,
you can't snatch it back.
You can't.
God, I interviewed Micheál Omar Hertig in Croke Park last week for the Late Late Show Tonight.
90 years old.
Honest
what
to God.
What a man.
I mean, he really is extraordinary. And to be sitting with him and the Sam Maguire, Liam McCarthy cups behind us, empty stadium, that beautiful pitch. It was a real moment.
Ryan, I hope you remember that for the rest of your life.
Do you know what? I was living in the moment. I got it.
Yeah.
I didn't take it for granted.
Yeah.
But why do you say that?
Because I really believe that Micheál is one of the most gifted national treasures that we have ever had on this island. I have watched him from afar and then up close when I got the great joy of working with him on Sunday Sport when he used to commentate on the matches, and just watching him work. And then when he put down the microphone, watching him talking to people.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable. Yeah. Like, listen, I've been out with you, I've been out with Marty, you know, Des. You see the way people flock to you guys and how much it means when you stop and you talk to them. And learning from Micheál and the way everybody is important. He would give somebody an hour of his time and not even think about it.
That's
he's
right.
just, you know, you see him at medal presentations and everything. I think he realizes now just how that has kept him so healthy, because the joy that he gets from other people is what helps him in his life.
Do you know
life.
What is also key to everything you said, which has been correct, is passion.
Yeah.
If you're passionate, it's got to keep you curious and very much alive.
I don't know how he does it, honestly.
I don't know.
Like, he he's a treasure. He really is.
We wish him well this morning. Let's take some texts. As always, Jackie's a breath of fresh air. Well done to her in a book, says Dermot. Margaret says, my grandson is 7, not interested in football, and it's so sad to see his school pals putting him in goals. It's telling him he isn't fit to play otherwise. What can I do to bring him out?
Well, do you know what? The one thing that I always say, because I get that a lot actually from parents who might say, look, he's not happy, he's not enjoying that. It's not a one size fits all approach, you know, because soccer isn't for everybody, or Gaelic football isn't for everybody, or hurling isn't for everybody. I have a younger brother who sadly passed away a couple of years ago. But when we were younger, myself and my sister both played basketball for the Irish team, and we were off doing our own thing. And he just didn't enjoy it. Didn't like GAA, didn't like soccer or whatever.
Just wasn't into it.
He wasn't into it. Yeah. But my mom and dad really wanted him to keep playing. And they just said, look, just keep trying everything till you find something. And he was 21 by the time he found motorbikes. Yeah. And suddenly that was his passion. And, you know, just before he died, he'd become a semi-pro racer. But my point is, it took him so long to find his passion, but there was something there for him. So in my own experience, it's just about staying positive and telling your children there is something there for you. You just have to find it.
It's you are to sport what I am to books, if I may say so. And I have a similar sort of mantra to people that my kids won't read. I say, they do, they will read, they just haven't found the right book yet.
Correct.
And that's what it is, isn't it? You can't force them to read
You have to try a lot of different
that's
keys,
right. Yeah,
you know,
so
in
right.
each lock.
I used to sponsor and drive a women's National League football team, says a text. Our club hosted matches where up to 6 Irish international players were on the pitch, small crowds with about 10% women spectators. Women don't support women. Mm-hmm. They do talk about it, but they don't do it.
That is a big issue.
Is
and
it,
your
really?
Texter is absolutely correct, because I would have this with a lot of my friends who would go to men's matches but wouldn't necessarily go to women's matches. And it's a lot of it is actually just because they don't know the players and they're not invested in the story.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's why we're trying to kind of change the narrative, where you'd like to see, you know, like Ellen Keane is on a bus at the moment. So wouldn't you love to see more of that their stories are out there? And look, I guess that's part of the reason why a book like this, you want to educate the generation that when they are coming through, that they recognise, oh yeah, I know a bit about your one. Oh yeah, Lindsay Peake, didn't she play all these sports for Ireland? And, you want to make sure that young women understand that and that they come on the journey with us as well.
Yeah.
Because women not supporting women has been an issue
for an awful long time.
Same
in politics.
Yep, correct.
So
this
I'm
is
told.
Not just exclusive to sport.
What does Jackie think of the idea of women don't support women? That turnout at matches isn't always good. We've done that, that's fine. Tell Jackie both boys and adult men, we're so proud of Sonia Sullivan. We willed her on every step as she took him to the track. Even an 8-year-old John and Clayne says, that's all right. I don't think any gender owns Sonia.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. More the merrier.
Yeah. Watch out for Dana Morehouse from Bray.
Oh, yeah.
She can also box.
The boxer, yeah.
So we'll keep an eye out for her.
And listen, there is another generation of boxers that are coming through there as well, even behind Kelly Harrington. And genuinely, in the next two Olympic cycles, there are multiple more medals to be won as well.
This is exciting news. Is there any chance of the defaults changing so that, which the text says, we reference the men's team as well as the women's team in all sports at all levels? The only men's team always referred to as such is the hockey team. And it really helps to reinforce the idea that both teams are of equal stature.
Yeah, do you know what? We'd often have a conversation about this of when you're referring to competitions, should you just refer to it as the Republic of Ireland? I actually don't have a problem with the identification of it because you need to know who you're talking about. If you're saying the Republic of Ireland, I think you need to know the Republic of Ireland men's team or the Republic of Ireland women's team.
Yeah.
I certainly wouldn't have a problem with that.
It's been great to talk to you. The book is a real beaut, I have to say to you.
Thanks, Ryan.
And it doesn't go on and on. It's a lovely size, lovely presentation. To the illustrators, Sinead Colleran, Rachel Corcoran, Jennifer Farley, Jennifer Murphy and Lauren O'Neill. Name checking them all because they did a beautiful job.
And do you know what the key was? I approached them and said, look, I want the five of you to work on this together. And I mean, this has never really been done before where you had a collaboration of all of them agreeing to do this because they recognised that this was an opportunity. I wanted to showcase all female talent in Ireland, not just the sports people in the book, showcasing their talent as well. Like, we are an unbelievable nation of beautiful illustrators as well. Yeah. And they've done a great job with this. It's class.
Well, it's called Girls Play 2. And it's inspiring stories of Irish sportswomen. We're just saying, if you do volume 2, it'll be Girls Play 2-2. Anyway, that's Jackie Hurley, who we're very fond of, as you well know. And it's a real beautiful book. And I have no doubt that's going to feature on a lot of lists coming into November, December. We'll talk about that closer to the time. But congratulations. Great book. I'm going to get you to sign that for my niece, Katie, if you wouldn't mind.
Because I would love to.
We need to keep her and all her generation interested and aware. And we're going to normalize the previously assumed abnormal. So that's good news. Jackie, great to see you as always.
Thanks so much
for your time this morning. The text number is 51551. Lots of great texts coming in on that very subject. So we'll get to those in a few moments. It's 30 minutes to 10.